when I was 16 and I got my license, my mom and dad let me drive their car. How many parents in here ever had that experience with their kids? How many people had to soon buy a new car? Now, I wish I could say it was like a really cool car. It was a Mercury Topaz. If you don't know what that is, don't worry, you didn't miss much. But when you're 16 and you've got this engine and a car, and you just think that you could just do awesome things in this. Now the one thing about this car that it had been upgraded, it had alloyed wheels, so it did have like really fun wheels. So I thought it was like really sporty. And a friend of mine taught me a really cool trick. Now it was an automatic. I didn't drive stick shift, but it was an automatic. And he taught me this really cool trick called a neutral drop. Now what that is, if you've never done it, kids, don't listen to this. You put it in neutral, you rev it as high as you can rev it, and then drop it into drive so that your tires, even though it's a four-cylinder and front-wheel drive, sort of bark, you know. It was more of a whimper, but they were supposed to be barking. And my dad found out that I was doing that. And he said, you need to buy a car. And so I did. And I bought this, an older car. It wasn't really fancy or nothing nice. Not even as nice as the Mercury Topaz. But you know what? Guess what? In my car, I didn't do neutral drops. And in fact, in my car, I put premium gas, and of course, gas back then was like 75 cents. I'm old enough for that. And I washed the car, not too. I couldn't run it through the pressure washer because the rust would fall off. But I took care of it. I had my priorities correct because even though my window didn't roll up and down on my driver's side, I went out and bought an Audiovox $50 stereo and put in it because that was most important. What does this have to do with Spark and church? Nothing. No, yeah, it actually does. Here's the thing about why. What was the difference? Now, my parents' car is... It wasn't, the fanciest car in the world, but it was a newer car. It was a nice car, and it was one of the nicest cars my parents had had, and they trusted me to drive it. And then when I got my car, even though it wasn't as nice as theirs, I treated it completely different. And what was the difference? I owned it. This was my car. I took care of it. And today we're going to talk about the spark of service. And what does that have to do with ownership? Because when we serve in the church, we become owners. That we start to take ownership and pride in what we're doing. The way that the building looks, the way that the ministries operate, the way that we connect with people so that we can do what? Why do we want to connect with people? Anybody in here know? To encourage spiritual growth, yes. Gosh, you guys, it's resounding. Wow. And we want to do that by doing what? Sharing God's word. Wow. You thought I was going to miss it, didn't you, this week? It's not going to happen. We want to serve so that we can see people connect. Yes, truly, so that we can have spiritual growth. Now, if you've ever had the opportunity to serve in a ministry, you know that there's a lot of connection goes on, and that there is spiritual growth that occurs. And I love the example of Pam coming up earlier. She's only been here 13 months and 8 months in leading in that. And if you heard that, if they've been here 13 months, she's been leading this ministry for 8 months. That means that there's only 5 months in there. And then if you haven't met Pam, she has a little bit of energy. And she is a person who does not wait, okay? So if you join her team, I want you to know just full of energy and she will definitely not drop the ball. And I remember her coming, it wasn't here very long, and she's like, well, Chuck's up there playing, and I got nothing to do, and da, 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 and I got something to do. And I was like, man, one of my ministry mottos is I would rather give direction to rockets than motivate rocks. And she is a rocket. And I was like, I have got to aim her or she's going to explode. And so we had a ministry opening and we did that. But it's been an awesome experience. And I just, you know, use them as an example. And we could go through others in the last 4 years that I've been here. Is I've watched people come through the door that are new to New Hope, get connected to a ministry, start serving, take leadership, take ownership. And New Hope became their home because of that. What service does is it's not just like, oh, we have a check, like we have a list. And when I say we, the leadership of New Hope, it's not like we have this list and like, you know what? We don't have secret meetings where we say, hey, how can we create jobs for people? What could we do to take up people's more of their time? What we do is we really honestly look and say, how do we serve our body first? Right, those who are here in New Hope, how can we serve our community? How can we interact with one another so that we really do connect together? And how can we do this? Because this is the model that Jesus Christ gave us. Now, I mentioned it last week that there's the verse that Jesus says, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, did not come to be served, but to serve. His entire life was just that, was service. He was already Lord and King of the universe. He had no reason to come to earth, but he decided to, as the writer says, put off his heavenly perfection. He denied his position, and he put on this drab flesh and walked among us, and he served by teaching and leading and dying for us. And so as we serve, I want us to look at five quick things today of ways that when we serve what we're doing, biblically speaking. And at the end of the sermon today, we're going to cut the service a little short than what we normally go because we want to encourage people. You may have noticed around the room, if you haven't looked around the room, over here on this side of the room, there is a number of ministries that are going to be represented around this room, and we are going to be encouraging you later to prayerfully consider going around and just checking out what the different ministries are. And as I mentioned, Pam earlier, if you don't go by her, she will come to you. Just going to give you that heads up. No, seriously, if you have not served in a ministry here and you're interested, this is a great time to just kind of go around and find out what different ministries are doing. What are ways that you can connect? And one of the very first things that we did this a couple months ago, but if you've never finished or completed a spiritual gifts test, you know, I don't know what I'm good at, Jason. I don't know. What has God shaped me to do? Well, we're in the very back, we have a table that has, we have spiritual gift tests. There's a series of questions. You can answer them here. You can take them home with you, bring them back later. But it's just an opportunity. It's not definitive, but it just kind of gives some guiding points to find out what did God do in your life? How did he shape your heart and your mind? What talents did he give you? And how can you use those in the church? Now, I grew up in a time when if you weren't the pastor or the piano player or the youth pastor, like there really wasn't a whole lot seemed like to do in church, except come on Sunday, give your tithe, and go home. Praise God, the church we flipped that script upside down, and now we're saying, look, you guys are the most important. The church is you, and these ministries are for you and about you, and you guys are key to the health of New Hope. So five things that service does. Number one, when we serve Christ. Now, I just said Jesus came not to be served, but here's the cool thing. We get to serve him anyways. How do we do that? Matthew 25:40 says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. Now, many of us know that verse. He's talking about when he said that there's going to be people who see people who are hungry and thirsty and naked, and people are going to be like, Jesus, when did I feed you? Or when did I clothe you? And he's like, whenever you did it to the least of these. Another time he's talking to the disciples, he says, even if you give someone a cup of water, a glass of water in my name, it will be counted for you in heaven. Now, there's amazing things that people are doing in ministry. Global ministries that reach out and change entire continents and change entire countries. There are people who can sing songs that just defy the human ear. I mean, you just can't think that they could sing those songs. People who play instruments that do amazing things, that do amazing graphics, that do movies, that do all kinds of expressive things that get a lot of attention. I will tell you right now, you know what? Jesus sees all of those things, but he sees the people who go and visit widows. He sees the man or woman who goes to visit someone who's in the nursing home. He sees the guys who come in here on Mondays and they move all the chairs out and they sweep the floor and they mop them. That's a ministry, by the way, you can sign up for. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. You don't think he's going to notice if people wash the floors of his sanctuary and do that to the glory of God? Jesus is being served when we do service. Second thing is this. When we serve, we exercise freedom. We exercise our freedom. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another in love. In freedom, we get to serve. There is nothing greater than to have the opportunity to serve one another and do it freely. Now, if you are indentured to do so, we are usually not too happy about that, aren't we? Have you ever been at work and your boss tells you to do something? Are you happy? Are you joyous? Do you walk away singing hosannas? Now, if you've ever been in management, you would love that, right? Wouldn't you love to have a meeting and a management meeting and you get your workers together and you say, today, here's the goals and here's what we're doing. And they all walk out singing your praises. We are thankful for the management. Yay, they gave us jobs. Wow. But human beings are not that way. But yet, when we do it out of our own, we get to choose. Well, I've watched that with my children. There are times when I'm like, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room. They do not walk away with glad hosannas. But then every once in a while, and it makes your heart just swell. It makes me as a parent just swell with just joy and unbelievable love for them is that I walk in and their room has been made. Right? The bed's been made and room's been cleaned up. I didn't even say anything. And I'm like, what happened? I decided to do this. I'm like, oh, I get on my knees. I'm like, dear Lord Jesus, thank you. When we do it out of the freedom, and they're happy about it. Now, when we have freedom, where did we receive our freedom from? From Jesus Christ. Lest we forget, we were dead in trespasses of sin. We were in bondage to Satan. And he freed us. And Paul's writing here to the Ephesians. He's like, hey, in your freedom, don't go out and just do sin, do bad things. Don't go out there and just waste what you've been given. Use it to serve one another in freedom. We can serve. When we serve, the third thing, we fulfill our purpose. You know, when we have a purpose, it gives us meaning, it gives us fulfillment. Studies show that people who do jobs that they don't see any purpose or value in it, no matter what the salary is, they are disgruntled. But a person, even if they have a menial task and low pay, if they find purpose and value in doing the job, that the satisfaction is off the charts. My satisfaction is off the charts as well. When we serve, we fulfill our purpose, Ephesians 2:10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which he predestined before time. He designed us to serve one another. He designed us to love one another, to express in our freedom and in our love for him a service to one another. When we look at Jesus Christ, and people always want to say, like, oh, what would Jesus do? You remember those little bracelets? What would Jesus do? Among all the things that we could say, the one thing I definitely could say is that Jesus would serve. He did it humbly. He did it without tiring. He did it even when he didn't want to. He did it when you can tell that he's frustrated with those he's serving. One of my favorite stories about Jesus is he comes down. He's just had the Mount of Transfiguration. That's where he pulled back his flesh for just a moment. He's like, oh, I got to breathe. And he let his glory out. And like his inner circle of Peter and John and them are up there. And they're like, oh my gosh. And they fainted. They were just so in awe of it. And he comes down and the rest of the disciples are having this argument. They can't cast out this demon. And I love Jesus says this. Oh, you wicked generation. How long do I have to tolerate you? I don't know if he's talking to them or talking to God, his Father, like God. Like, I'd rather go to the cross. Like, do I have to put up with these people? But you know what he did? He kept serving them. He kept loving them. Even though he had the freedom not to, he still did it. When we serve and we do this, we fulfill our purpose. And our purpose to be Christ-like is fulfilled in serving. Fourth thing. When we serve, we bring praise to God. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11 say this. Each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You think about that? Like whatever that talent is, whatever that gift is that you have, that ability that you have, that is a grace from God. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I never knew that you could praise God by serving on VBS snack team. Well, I would give my right arm to sing like Charlie or play like Chuck or play one of these musical instruments. I have had a guitar for over a decade. I can play two chords. I'm halfway there to all Christian songs, I know. But God did not give those graces to me. He may not have given those to you, but whatever he gave to you, we should do so as we and bring it to praise to him. Some people are just, they loved, or Amy and I were having a conversation and we were dealing with a solutions to a problem and she came up with a solution, which was a great solution. Don't tell her I said that. But no, you can tell her. I've already told her. She's amazing in the way that she thinks in certain areas of life. Of organization and problem solving that I just don't see it. And that she made this statement like, well, you should do, this is the way that this should be handled. And I just looked at her and she's like, what? And I said, I'll be honest with you. If you would have laid this problem in front of me for 100 years, I never would have came up with that. That's a brilliant idea. And she just looked at me like, duh, like why would you not see that? But I've unveiled truths in scripture through my sermons and through our personal devotion time together, like, and she just looks at me sometimes like, where, how did you put that together? Because God gave each one of us different things. And one of our troubles that I see a lot of us in our relationships, either friendships or in marriage, but even within the church, is we all expect everybody to be like each other. That just doesn't happen. You know, God didn't give us this whole laundry list, every person, the exact same list of gifts and abilities and passions. That's why some people, whenever I could say something like foreign missions, man, their ears perk up, their heart goes faster. Others are going to sleep. Then I say school ministry. Other people are like, yeah. Other people are like, oh, I've been in school. I don't want to go back. Why? Because God put different passions and different purposes in each and every one of us. And if we fulfill those and we work those out, we bring praise to God. And we could do it in like the most simplest ways. Finally, when we serve, we demonstrate excellence. We demonstrate excellence. Matthew 23:11 says, "The greatest among you," this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, "the greatest among you will be your servant." The greatest among you will be your servant. Man, in God's economy, it is flipped. It's upside down from the way that most of the world operates. You want to be great? Be small. Now, we've seen this played out a little bit in national venues of sports. How many people that we've seen that are great in their position, great in their place, but they are small people. And I love when the news picks up on a story of a person who is seemingly small in position or stature or importance, and you see the impact that they are doing and the depth of the great size of their heart and passion and God-gifted ability. Because when we do things for Him, when we serve, we demonstrate excellence. We don't demonstrate our own excellence, but we demonstrate His. I love when people that they ask you questions, and some people ask, how could you possibly say those things? How could you possibly do those things? When I see people play music, how could you possibly play that song? How could you possibly do that? It just seems like physically impossible to do that. And I love when people go, it wasn't me. And it really wasn't. And I've heard people say that, and I think, oh, you're just saying. But then there's been days when I've been speaking, when I've been sharing God's word with somebody, and even when I'm preaching, that I'm like, things come out of my mouth, things come up in my heart, my mind. It's not in my notes. God is speaking through me. And then somebody comes up and goes, that was what I needed to hear today. I wish that I could take credit for some of those things, but I'm not clever enough. Somebody, a couple weeks ago, I made a comment about how when we're just being busy, and we're talking about being in a rocking chair. Remember, we're rocking. I had a bunch of people come up, yeah, that was great. I wish you would have had a rocking chair. That would have been a great visual. I go, yeah, it would have been if I would have known that that was what I was going to say. In the moment, God just spoke. Like, it's just like when you're rocking. I'm like, oh, yeah. Boy, I just want to make a comment, so I'm not going to say that. Never mind. I'm not going to get political for a second. Yeah, I am. So Mike Pence says he hears from God, and he's called insane, and he has a mental illness. If you haven't read that, look it up. But I want to tell you right now, if you're not hearing, I just want to say this right now. If you're not hearing from God, you better worry. If you call yourself a Christian and you're having a conversation with God and it's one way and you're not hearing back, check it. Because how could you serve if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing? How can you serve if you don't know where you're supposed to be going? How can you serve when He hasn't revealed to you in your heart what your spiritual gifts and talents are? How can you serve if you don't know what your purpose is? And how could you bring praise to God if you're not really in conversation with Him? When we serve Christ. We fulfill our purpose. But above all, when we serve, we are connecting, first of all, with Him. I love what Charlie was saying earlier about Valentine. If you don't have a vertical Valentine, if you don't have that vertical relationship, the horizontal ones are going to be messed up. So real quickly before we close, I just want to say, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never engaged in that conversation, that's the first step. You can take all the spiritual gifts tests you want. You can go online and do all kinds of personality tests that you want. But none of that will reveal what the Holy Spirit will reveal in you when you are in relationship with Jesus Christ. You could do all the amazing things that you want. You could serve and you could be sacrificial. But Paul even says that in 1 Corinthians, if I do all of these things, but I do not know God, I am nothing. You could feed all the hungry. You could shelter all the homeless. You could clothe all the naked you want. But if you do it all in your own name, you do it for nothing. So before we break off so we can go and serve, let me challenge you right now. If you're serving outside of God, your service is for nothing. But if you want to serve and have eternal impact, first of all, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Very simply. Number one, admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you have made mistakes, that you have sinned against God, who is holy and perfect. Secondly, accept that his son's death, burial, and resurrection was done in your place so that you may have the free grace of his mercy and forgiveness. And you do it very simply by believing in your heart and confessing in your mouth that he is Lord. I'm going to ask everyone to take a minute to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, just right now, for those who are in this room, if anyone has never taken that step, God, I pray right now that they would do so. God, may they realize that their life, even a life that's lived to serve others, if it's done outside of you, it is for nothing. Heavenly Father, for those who are in this room right now who already have accepted you as Christ, but yet are not serving, not found that place where they could give back to you, they may bring glory to you. God, I pray that you would just reveal in their hearts places and ways in which they can do that. And God, in your economy, those things which seem small are actually large. Those things which we seem humble and hidden, God, you see them and you glorify them because it brings glory to you. God, we pray right now that as we as a church, as we continue to try to connect with one another, as we try to connect with our community, as we serve, may it always be brought back to you. May it never be any way, shape, or form looked upon as any form of greatness of new hope. But God, may it always be looked upon as a greatness of you. We do all of this to your excellence and because of your excellence. It's in your name we pray. Amen.